When something is good, why not remake it? That's the question we ask today, because we're talking about the art of the reboot, specifically Star Trek versus Predators.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies.
And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Sci-Fi Weekly.
Welcome to Sci-Fi Weekly here at the Popcorn Talk. Thank you guys so much for joining us. So much to talk about today. I'm so excited. Welcome back. I'm your host, Zach Wilson. You can tweet at me throughout the week, throughout the show. Find me at @ZachWilson. Got Jesse Klein, my co-host, over here.
Hey, everyone. You can find me at JessKlein1. That's JessKlein, the number one.
And as I said in the intro, we are talking about Star Trek versus Predators.
Star Trek versus
Predators. Hear about that crossover? It's not actually happening.
It's not happening.
I would watch that.
I would watch it
if it was. No, but specifically, we want to talk today, in honor of the Ghostbusters reboot coming out on Friday,
yeah.
Just what goes into making a reboot these days, because it's so prevalent. Most movies are either big budget films are based on either a novel series, a comic book, or it's a remake of an old movie.
Yeah.
In some cases, though, it's a sequel. In some cases, it's sort of a soft reboot versus a hard reboot, and we're going to talk about the difference and everything that goes into it. But there's also a bunch of news to talk about before we get to that. And we've got to blow through this quickly. Mainly because I've got a cold and I'm just like, let's keep going.
Let's keep it going.
But there's only one speed that we can move at. And that's ludicrous speed.
Ludicrous speed! Go!
All right. Well, early reviews are in for Ghostbusters, the new one, and it is a resounding meh.
Yeah.
I'm still excited to see it. I'm very intrigued. I am not holding my breath, but I am willing to give it a shot because I trust Paul Feige.
Yeah, the original Ghostbusters is, to me, the perfect movie. And so, they can't live up to that. So, as long as it's funny, I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, we're going to be getting an extended cut on a home video release.
Yeah, and there's nothing that makes me happier than knowing this isn't the cut they wanted to show.
Sure.
Much like they announced, I think it's weird timing, much like they announced it before Dawn of Justice, that there was a different cut, it sort of makes you like, well, why am I going to pay $20 to see
the cut?
This one if you've already made another one? But whatever it is, I want the best movie they can give us. So I'm excited to see both of them. James Gunn tweeted out in honor of 300 days till Guardians of the Galaxy and implied that they have formed some interesting technology. It's kind of scary because at San Diego Comic-Con, he says that they have technology that's going to block all of
the cell phones. Yeah, we talked about this last week.
That's some clandestine sci-fi stuff right there.
Yeah, I mean,
that could have been a topic in sci-fi in real life.
That could have been. I mean, yeah, block those cell phones. I don't know, is that violating any rights? It feels like it might be.
Nah.
I don't know. Also, Danny McBride is confirmed as a pilot for Alien Covenant. I'm so on board with this.
I want to see, I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm in. I'll see it.
He's going to die. He's going to die bad.
But he's going to die so good.
Yeah, exactly.
And speaking of people being cast in unlikely places, Javier Bardem is rumored to be taking on the role of Frankenstein's monster in Universal's upcoming remake of the classic Mary Shelley story.
Yeah, because we haven't seen enough Frankenstein movies.
Yeah, I mean, this movie, I don't know what to think of it. It's got Tom Cruise, Johnny Depp, Sofia Boutella, and now potentially Javier Bardem.
Yeah. Also this week, Kid Flash, Wally West, seen in costume. It looks amazing.
We know already, spoilers if you haven't finished season 2 of The Flash, but we know we're getting Flashpoint.
Which is awesome.
That's the title of the first episode of season 3. Kid Flash.
It looks great.
Yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff. And there's even more that I'm not going to go into because it's super spoilery leaks that somebody caught on set. In book news, I haven't gotten to read it yet.
Yeah.
But it's sitting on my Audible account. Star Wars Aftermath Life Debt came out this week.
Talking about Wookiees.
Yeah, big Millennium Falcon on the cover. I'm so excited.
Big old Millennium Falcon.
But there's more Star Wars.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Star Wars Land unveils new concept art. Guys, this looks amazing. Like, I want to go there now. Is there a way... Like, I want to do that South Park episode where I go into a coma and then wake up. And Star Wars Land is here.
We need the TARDIS that's now in our intro.
Yeah.
That's flying around the planet.
Exactly.
That's the only way. Yeah. Otherwise, you have a few years to wait. But that's it for the news at Ludicrous Speed for this week. Of course, we'll have tons more news this week. Because there's some stuff that I think warrants a little more discussion.
Sure.
There's some big Star Trek discussions going around.
Yeah. Late some people last are week. Very unhappy.
Yeah, including George Takei.
Yeah.
If you guys haven't heard about this, it came out that John Cho's Sulu in the upcoming Star Trek Beyond is going to be a gay character. He's going to be gay.
Yeah.
I don't know if it leaked out with press screenings or whatever it was. It came to light, and what also came out is that George Takei said that he is. This is surprising to most people, including myself. Yeah. He is unhappy to see Sulu be gay.
I am not surprised about it because what he said about it is like it's not in line with what the original character is. And George Takei is such a nerd. Like, the fact that he would be like, why would you change... Like, even though it's a cause that he believes in, he was like, he would love to have a gay character, but just not one that is established as a not gay person.
Yeah, what he said is, I'm delighted that there's a gay character.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's a twisting of Gene's creation.
Exactly.
To which he put in so much thought. I think it's really unfortunate. That's from George Takei.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not... So, well, Simon Pegg, who's one of the writers on the film...
Yeah.
He came back at it, and basically all of this discussion happened while the movie was being made.
Yeah.
It wasn't like George Takei just, like, woke up last week and was like, what?
Yeah.
He had actually... When he had found out, I guess somebody called him to let him know, thinking he would be...
Excited
about it. But he called Justin Lin and he called Simon Pegg and explained why he was unhappy with it. Basically, again, saying that he just didn't think it was in line with what Gene Roddenberry pictured.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm sort of with Simon Pegg, who he...
Jumped through a lot of quantum loops.
Yeah. I mean, well, he has a very fun explanation of how it makes sense.
He basically says that when the universe got... When Spock traveled through time... Because time isn't linear, that basically reset the universe as a whole. So characters who were not gay could be gay. Specifically in this universe, a lot of gay changing.
Yeah, well, like, the reason that he gave for it, like before, like he had to figure out all the mechanics, of course.
But
the reason is because I actually really like the reasons that Simon Pegg gave.
Sure.
Because Star Trek has always been a massively inclusive show.
Yeah.
When it started, it was one of the first shows to feature an African American female lead, especially one who was a science officer.
The first interracial kiss ever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I love that. If you don't know the story behind that,
it's fantastic.
Go read up on it. It's amazing because Shatner stole it from Nimoy.
Yeah.
But we don't have time to get into that. But it's always been a progressive show. But something that's missing from its main crew is an LGBT representative.
Sure.
And they had toyed with they wanted to include that because, again, it's what Star Trek is that is there's somebody, there should be somebody on that crew for everyone to connect to.
Yeah.
No matter who you are. And they wanted to put in a gay character, but introducing a new character, that happens to be gay ends up feeling like they forced in a gay character, and then it's just sort of like, why?
Yeah,
like what? Who is this new person? We're reluctant to it. Like, they could have easily done it for. They said that they thought about doing it for like Scotty, Chekhov. They think of as a ladies' man, so they didn't want to go that route. But they chose Sulu. What their intention was to honor George Takei.
Yeah.
And I think it makes sense. It makes sense to make it part of the crew. And it makes it a weird sentiment that the person you're honoring wasn't on board. But yeah. I appreciate why they did it.
Yeah, I definitely appreciate why they did it. I also kind of understand why George Takei is upset. Like, I feel like
I don't think anybody basically
he's justified think, yeah. in what he's saying. I don't think anyone's in the wrong here. Yeah,
exactly. But what I love though is Simon Pegg's, like you were saying, like jumping through hoops quantum to explain hoops. It. Basically, what he's saying is when you rip open space time like that brought Nimoy and the Romulans back through time.
Yeah,
there's immeasurable consequences across all of space and time because like, so if you've got like a piece of paper that's folded up into like. Eighths, let's yeah. say, and you puncture through it and you wind up on the other side of those eight pieces, who knows what other eight pieces of space-time you went through to wind up at that
yeah.
thing. So you could easily have changed one little thing about the way he was either born or raised or anything, any other factor that yeah. made Sulu who he is.
Sure.
And so I'm willing to grant him that. Like I love the super ridiculous science insane. That he puts into it.
Yeah.
He has a super long explanation.
Yeah.
That's like just the most ridiculous Star Trek science fiction logic.
It's the
you've
best.
Ever heard. Go read it if you get a chance. Any more thoughts on the?
No, I mean I think it's fine. Yeah. Like it's not going to change how I enjoy that movie.
Yeah. I want to talk briefly about Blomkamp's Alien.
Yeah.
Not Alien Covenant.
No.
To be clear, this is, this will be Alien 6 if you're going by just order.
Yeah.
Even though Alien Covenant is technically Prometheus 2, just don't worry about it.
They really
don't
worry fumbled about it right now. The ball
and
on these alien numbers.
And it's going to get more confusing.
Yeah.
Because what Blomkamp and Sigourney Weaver both came out and said this week is that they are approaching this, and I like what they're doing,
yeah.
even if it's making the ordering of things
we
super
got,
confusing.
We got a real Tokyo Drift scenario yeah. going on here.
They're trying to make a spiritual sequel to, or what is a true sequel to Aliens,
which is Alien 2.
They don't want to focus on anything that happened in Alien 3 or Alien Resurrection.
Yeah.
Or probably Alien vs. Predator, but they're just not even going to mention those.
Yeah. I like it. I think it's silly. Seeing some of the leaked photos and stuff like that, I thought for sure they were at least going to have some of the Alien Resurrection stuff, especially like having her be part queen. It looked like they were including some of that in these photos, some of the photos we've seen. But that being said, I mean, yeah, make a spiritual sequel to two of the best movies ever made.
Like, I misspoke because it's not really a spiritual sequel.
It's a real sequel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just like the, and what Blomkamp says is that's, he says, my favorites are the first two movies, so I want to make a film that's connected to Alien and Aliens. That's my goal. I'm not trying to undo Alien 3 or Alien Resurrection. I just want it to be connected to Alien and Aliens.
Yeah.
So it doesn't mean he's not going to have references to those other two movies in there, but it's not going to be necessarily plot-related. And it's really like you. The idea is, I think, he wants you to be able to go watch Alien, Aliens and then his movie
yeah.
without anything else in between.
Yeah.
And I can respect that. The movie has to deliver that.
Mm-hmm.
But I, having seen Neil Blomkamp's work up till now, District 9 is still, I know it's just his first movie, but
yeah.
it's still one of my favorites of all time.
Yeah.
And Elysium, I think, is just hugely underrated.
I agree. I think Elysium and Chappie are both unfairly. Chappie is one of the funniest movies I've seen. And the villain in it is absolutely hilarious.
Yeah.
And I think Elysium is underrated as well. People, when you knock it out of the park like you do with District 9, the expectations are so high.
Yeah.
That not being able to hit that again is understandable.
Yeah.
Still a good movie.
Yeah. I mean, I watch them again all the time.
Yeah.
Let's move on to sci-fi and real life.
Sci-fi, real life.
There's some cool artificial muscles are taking their next steps,
yeah,
if you will,
yeah.
But there's a group who is has developed some very muscle-like they're calling them multi-filament bundles,
mm-hmm.
That basically are using like the way that our muscles are made of strings effectively. I'm not a biologist, so no. That's the best way. But it's like it's strands yeah. of muscle that, like, obviously, because if you've ever torn a muscle, that's what you're tearing.
Yeah, sure.
But they're using the human structure to try to make these robots work instead of just like joints and like a gear shift or anything like that. They're trying to mimic human anatomy more to make these robots able to walk. We even have a video. If you could pull that up for me.
One moment, Zach. Would you like audio on this video?
That's okay, computer. We can just let it play.
Thank you, Mark One.
Playing video now.
Oh, God. Our computer's so creepy. But yeah, I mean, you can see it's not capable of walking by itself yet.
Sure.
But this is like a first step of, like, you can see it's how it's bending, the way it's moving.
Mm-hmm.
This is how you get robots, like, that can walk around and, like, mimic humanity.
Replace humans. Yeah, why'd they
replace humans being the opposite.
Why'd they have to make the face so freaky? That is my question. Look at this. They just gave it a skull.
You could, like,
I understand that they're, like, trying to make a skeletal system and the muscular system above it. But, yeah. Why'd you give him a freaky... Like, it looks like he's about to dance to xylophone music.
Oh, and then why is it talking?
Yeah.
No, but I think what they're trying to do is they're trying to use human... Because, there's a reason that we're built like this.
Yeah.
So, why not mimic the thing that works?
Yeah, and then Cylons.
Yeah, Cylons is the next step.
Next step, Cylons.
And that's... All this has happened before.
Yeah.
And all this will happen again.
Exactly.
Let's move into our main discussion.
Yeah, sure.
Star Trek versus Predators.
The Art of the Soft reboot.
Yeah. Again, we thought that was just a funny joke.
Yeah.
Like a good title. And then we're like, wait, but that's...
You just watched Predators. It's...
Yeah.
It's great.
I went back and watched Predators, because Predators is truly like a great soft reboot.
Yeah.
And I'd never seen it. Jesse was high on it. And I gotta say, underrated movie.
Yeah.
A lot of fun. Like, look, it's nothing mind-blowing.
No.
But it's a fun action movie of ridiculous alien proportions.
It does not fail the way a lot of other, like, big action movies that usually do. Like, there's a lot of fidelity to content, and it's great. It's a lot of fun. You get to see predators fight humans with miniguns. It's the best. So we're going to talk about reboots. And I was thinking that we'd start it off at first just talking about what a soft reboot is.
Yeah.
And, like, why would you reboot a franchise in the first place?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think a lot of times there are people who are passionate about a project and want to see that universe explored again. I think it's easy to sell to a production company because it's already got fans. You can be like, yeah, these people already saw this. They will see it again. You'll make a lot of money. A soft reboot is ostensibly either keeping canon with the old story, and by canon we mean like everything that happened in the old story is still present in the new story, or retelling the old story with new characters but still in the same universe. So like a good soft reboot is like the Star Trek movie, where we have, you know, Captain Kirk and Spock and all of our favorite Star Trek characters, but we're telling new stories with them, and it's not discounting the old Star Trek stories. Kirk from, like, William Shatner is still Kirk, but also we have a new Kirk, and it's fine. It's a soft reboot. With Predators, it's a different type of soft reboot where it's beat for beat, almost the exact same movie as Predator.
Down to a half-naked man covered in mud.
Yeah, exactly.
For the final showdown.
And the soundtrack, like, it uses the Predator theme in it. Like, it's almost beat for beat the exact same movie, but... At the same time, it's pushing the story forward, and it's allowing for new fans to enjoy the story that everyone has seen, like, you know, the original Predator, which is a great movie.
Yeah.
Man of Steel.
This one I saw on your list.
Yeah.
I'm very curious how you define this as a reboot.
Or
is a soft reboot.
Because it retells the origin story of Kal-El in a way we've never seen, and the origin story of Zod in a way we've never seen.
See, I would disagree. I would call Man of Steel a hard reboot, okay, because to me the main distinction is about universes.
Yeah.
So like Star Trek, it to me is the soft reboot because ultimately it's still the same universe. We're not in a parallel one. That's why they named it recently the Kelvin timeline.
Yeah.
Because it's the same universe. It's just like Back to the Future. Is like the Biff Tannen timeline is the same universe. But Man of Steel basically said
this is a hard
none of those
existed. Yeah.
This is a brand new, and like there's always going to be changes in a reboot.
Yeah, it is. You're right. It is a hard reboot. I think I switched them in. Yeah, but Jurassic World is a soft reboot where it's also almost beat for beat the same story as Jurassic Park.
Yeah,
and keeping those elements from Jurassic Park back in, like we see the T-Rex, we see the Raptors, all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and there's a distinction in here between, and it really, again, it like similar to what we talked about when we were talking about sci-fi versus fantasy, is a lot of it is just about how it's being approached and how the story is being told, because there's also a fine line between a soft reboot and a sequel.
Yeah.
Because like Predators, you could say, is a sequel.
For sure.
Because it acknowledges the first one.
It acknowledges the first two.
But the main idea is that this is, it's trying to set up a new set of movies, a new timeline for us to focus on. Jurassic World is setting up a new set of movies for us to live in, and it was so far afterwards that it's like barely a sequel, because they don't even keep the same numbers, they change the names.
The original plan with Predators was to start a new set of movies starring Adrian Brody's character, which we didn't get because Predators didn't do that well, even though it was a good movie. And like hard reboots, like we recently had Dread, which was a hard reboot. RoboCop, Spider-Man twice. Now three times. We're resetting the universe on Spider-Man three times. The question is like why do they exist? Like, and well, I think like, you were just getting into it. Where like, it's like,
what is the advantage? So let's say you've got your favorite. This is what I'm curious about. Yeah. Like you, and I'm curious about you guys in the chat role as well.
Yeah.
Take your favorite franchise, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Would you rather they did a soft reboot where they keep the original in the universe, or just start over from scratch to sort of give
a reimagining,
because there's advantages to both. There are times where I think it's stronger to just start over from one, and that way it gives the filmmakers just freedom to do anything they want. They don't have to be beholden to an old canon. Star Trek, like, it made sense to reboot rather than like just make a new sequel with new actors.
Yeah.
And the justification of the reboot is for me is one that goes down history. It's the best like reasoning for like resetting a universe.
Yeah, for sure.
Because it was the first one to really explain like everything in continuity in a way that serviced fans of the original and didn't step on the old movies. It didn't say like, well, F you guys.
Yeah.
And
at the same time, Predators is in the same universe, didn't reset it, hit all the same beats as the original movie, but also made it bigger, expanded on like the knowledge of the Predator alien race that we know of. Like we got to see a different planet, like made it bigger. But at the same time, it reestablished everything that we saw in Predator 1.
Yeah. The big one that this is all coming down to this week is Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen the movie, and so I can't comment on whether it is enjoyable or not. And ultimately that's the most important thing is it a good movie? But I personally was disappointed when I learned that it was a hard reboot and not a soft reboot. Like when the original Ghostbusters movies to me are like the first one is great.
Yeah.
I love the second one as well.
Sure.
It's not the first one, but I don't understand the hatred that it gets because it's just, it's so much, it's fun.
Like, yeah.
It's Ghostbusters.
Yeah, I love the first half of the second one.
I see. I'm maybe it's just the cheese factor. Yeah. And the fact that I enjoy a good cheese.
Yeah, same here.
But when they're just, I like the Statue of Liberty walking through the streets of New York.
Sure.
It makes it, I don't know. I like it.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know it was a hard reboot. I thought they were acknowledging that the Ghostbusters existed before and that. Like Harold Ramis and Bill Murray and,
well, unless they've been hiding a big secret,
yeah,
which I don't know about. What I had read,
yeah,
was that they were in the movie, but in the same way that, I'm sure what's like a good comparison.
I have a comparison.
Oh, please, yes, computer. Please do, computer.
Did you know that the original actor and actress from the Superman serials appeared in one of the future Superman movies?
I did not know that.
Computer, which was that Superman Returns or was that Man of Steel?
Superman Returns.
Sure.
Oh. See that, but I think what I heard is that it's something like that. It's a cameo. Dr.
Venkman?
No. At least that's what I heard.
Oh, I do not like that either.
Yeah. That was the main thing that I wanted. That's the only reason I'm nervous about the movie is that, like, if it was just like, they're like, back in the 80s and the 90s, we had this huge ghost problem. We haven't been disturbed for 20 years. Like,
yeah.
I would have been totally on board. Or like this new team of people has to take over.
Or like these were girls that grew up in New York and like they idolized the Ghostbusters.
And that's not, from everything I understand, not what this is.
Oh. Bummer.
And it does, like I said, it does let you tell an origin story in a new way.
Sure.
And that can give you a lot of creative freedom,
yeah,
to do something fun. And I can't speak. And we'll, if you don't know, next week we're going to be talking about Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
We're going to go see it this weekend. And then we'll be reporting on our thoughts next week. Working on seeing who else we can get in here to talk about, yeah, that.
So let's get into the nitty gritty.
Yeah.
One of the things you can do for a soft reboot, and these two movies are great examples of it, is you can either make the story bigger or you can make it smaller. Where Star Trek is very much a story that is mostly just about Kirk and his dad and Spock. And that's it. And a little bit about Spock and his parents, but they don't give it as much time to it. But it is very much just a story of that relationship between those three people. Yes, there is a bigger story. There's the Romulans, the time skip, old Spock, all of that kind of stuff.
Blowing up the Earth and
blowing
Vulcan
up the Earth,
stuff.
All of that kind of stuff. But that's all used to like fuel the drama between these three characters.
But so let's look. But then you look at Star Wars: The Force Awakens,
mm-hmm,
which yes, it's a sequel.
Yeah.
But it is very much feels like a soft reboot
because it hits all the beats.
And I could go on for a long time about my thoughts about why they did that and,
yeah,
the reasons for it and why it made sense. But it is a bigger thing. You don't really get into the,
yeah,
characters as much as you do in Star Trek.
Yeah, or with Predators. Like, instead of making it about Adrian Brody's character and, like, his relationship with these other killers, instead it's much more, like, let's explore the universe that we've already set up. It's on an, instead of it being just a jungle, it's a jungle planet. Instead of one predator, it's one predator, but then these bigger hunter predators, these alpha predators, instead of, you know, just an elite team of special forces, you have like these like the best killers on Earth, basically. And so like those are two examples. Like Star Trek, very small, a much smaller story, where Predators is a much bigger story about like expanding the universe, making it bigger.
Yeah, there's a lot of love in the chat roll for Dread.
Dread is fantastic. I love that movie.
Yeah, Dr. Spectacula says Carl Urban is boss.
Carl Urban is boss. I agree.
Carl Urban has, like, he's cemented himself to me as, like, one of the, like, one of the strongest sci-fi actors of the last, like, 10 years.
Yeah.
Like, in all of his roles across Star Trek, Dread, Almost Human was a show that was brilliant, got just destroyed by what, like, from an outside perspective, looks like network notes.
Yeah.
But was so much fun to watch.
Yeah, Dredd was one of those movies where it's like, I don't understand why it wasn't bigger. Like, it was so good.
Well, do you think that there is something there with the fact of the reboot? Do you think that there's a certain sense of, I've already seen this movie, I don't need another one?
I think there might be that kind of thing, but I think for the most part, like, the reason, a lot of reasons why you do a reboot is because people are like, I saw that, I liked the first one, I want to see it again.
All right.
Yeah.
Do you think it's worth, so I would say that the majority of people today,
yeah,
and when Dredd even came out, are not really familiar with the character Judge Dredd.
Yeah, I think that might be the problem. Is,
yeah, do you? So they've like heard the name and they're like, oh well, it's not for me because I don't even know what the original is.
Yeah,
it's what prevented me for like a couple years getting into Doctor Who, and now of course I'm a obsessive Whovian.
Yeah, sure.
But there was a few years there where I was like, there are 40 years of shows. How am I ever gonna do it? And somebody, it took somebody that I trust telling me, just start here, and you'll be fine. And then I've gone back into classics and stuff from there. But it's hard to, I think, for especially for fans, and I think that's the big thing. Like, fans are weary of reboots because they are so commercial.
Yeah,
and maybe that's the difference. Is if we trusted somebody to reboot something in a non-commercial way. And that doesn't mean that it has to be a box office flop.
Yeah.
Or an indie film, but that little difference.
Yeah, where it clearly isn't just like, let's make money off of a thing people have seen before.
Yeah. The other thing that you can do for reboots is you can cross over with other things, which for is going to lead us into our mission assignment.
You here with a mission, sir?
Secret mission.
It's 5-year mission.
You are a top operative on your most important mission.
Last week we asked you guys for the most ridiculous
crossover.
Yeah. Oh man.
In the vein of, they're doing a 21 Jump Street and a Men in Black crossover movie. It's coming. They're making one.
Yeah, no, that's in development. That's a real thing that I will be first in line to see.
Yeah, I'll watch that.
You'll watch it. I'm downright excited.
Yeah.
So we got some people answering. Christian Blatt, in addition to Spider-Man / Transformers, it's hard to imagine what you could not cross over with. But he also says Doctor Who or Star Trek. Doctor Who and Star Trek actually had a comic book crossover for a little while, which I've read a couple issues of. It's fun. It's silly.
That's fantastic, yeah.
They had, like, different doctors meeting different captains.
Yeah.
It was fun. this is one that I think so many people have asked for, because he also mentions Doctor Who crossing over with Sherlock, which is just because Moffat.
Yeah, just double Moffat.
On the BBC. And then we had Chillcat came in with one of my... This made me laugh so much.
Yeah.
National Lampoon's Vacation crossover with Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
That's amazing. That is...
I know Chevy Chase is, like, semi-retired.
Yeah.
But do you think he would come out of retirement to go,
go across the universe?
Get in an interstellar station wagon?
Yeah, I think he would. Yeah, let's get him out there.
With an improbability drive on the dashboard.
Did you have any? I'll go
you
first.
You go.
Yeah, the one I came up with was Horrible Bosses and Die Hard. seeing those three guys, like, planning to get rid of their bosses in Nakatomi Plaza... Or Nakatomi Tower, and then have it get taken over by terrorists, and like seeing them have to save the world. Like, those three guys are so good at falling into doing the correct thing. That'd be really fun to see.
I'm stealing this a little bit from comics,
yeah,
but I really want to see a big screen Batman Ninja Turtles.
Sure.
Like, team up.
Yeah.
Because, like, especially Ben Affleck's Batman, who's, like, really dark and just, like,
hey, dude.
Have these, like, teenagers basically learning from Batman.
Yeah.
And he's like, what is happening? It would make me smile.
You have swords, but you never slice anyone with them.
We had some other suggestions. Michael G. Con wants to see Judge Dredd and Police Academy.
Oh, my God.
there's a lot of fun ones. If you guys have any of the... Felix Alvarez says Die Hard and Independence Day.
That's...
Jonas Tiger
does
the, says...
Wait, does Die Hard and Independence Day just end with the tower getting destroyed?
Like, they have to get to the top to fire a rocket into the... But there's aliens streaming down the building of Nakatomi Tower. It's all Fox.
It's all Fox.
Wait, is Independence Day Fox? Whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
None of these are going to happen. Jonas Tiger says Doctor Doom versus Doctor Strange. That's the same universe. Yeah. They have that comic.
They've done it.
It exists.
Yeah.
But, all right, so let's move on. Let's toss to next week's mission assignment.
It's super simple. It's just tell us your favorite moments from the first two Ghostbusters movies.
Yeah, there's so many to pick from. I
just recently rewatched the first one, and the moment in the elevator where they're talking about the proton packs, and he's like, "Yeah, you know, we've smuggled in these nuclear weapons. I didn't even field test them." And they sit there for a second, and then Egon just turns on the power pack, and then he and Venkman, like, slowly shift to the side as if they're in an elevator. If the proton pack explodes, they're all dead. But they slowly just shift, like, a foot away. It's amazing. It's so subtle.
It's a great movie. Send us that. And send us your thoughts on the new one if you get a chance to see it before
Please
next
do.
Week's show.
Because
we're going to be doing a spoiler-filled review.
Yeah.
We'll make sure to give out spoiler warnings and everything before we start talking about it. But we want to know what you guys thought of the movie as well. And we'll be back in with it next week. Some other stuff I want to talk, like, make sure you guys remember.
Guys, this is really exciting.
Yeah. on Friday... This Friday at midnight, Netflix is going to drop Stranger Things, all 8 episodes. And I'm excited to announce to you guys that me, along with Roxy Stryer, Jesse Janney, and Tiana Hobson, some of the other hosts here at the AfterBuzz group, we hosted Netflix's official after show.
Which so jealous.
And so I've seen the show. It is incredible. I can't recommend it enough, especially if you're watching this.
Yeah.
There's no way that you won't like this show. It has all the 80s vibes because it's set in 1983 that you want out of it. It feels like a Spielberg movie, but maybe a little darker, a little more horror, like Stephen King-esque.
Nice.
That's the big... And even Stephen King endorsed it this week.
And old Sourpuss King doesn't like anything.
Yeah, he's like, if this doesn't crash Netflix's servers, he's going to be surprised. Trust me, check this show out. And then after you do, or between each episode, because we have one for every episode, go to youtube.com/Netflix, and you'll be able to find all 8 episodes of the after show there. And be sure to tweet at me. I want to know your thoughts on Stranger Things, Ghostbusters, all those things. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ThatZachWilson, ThatZachWilson.
You guys can find me at JessKlein1, that's JessKlein, the number one. Also remember to go to iTunes and leave a review or something like that for us. We're on iTunes, right?
Yeah,
great. And comment, YouTube, thumbs up, all that kind of stuff.
I didn't pull up the iTunes reviews this week, if there are any, but be among the first to comment on iTunes.
Our goal is 5.
We really appreciate it. It helps people find out about the show because it raises how on iTunes people find podcasts.
All right. That's awesome. We'll see you guys next week.
Yeah, Ghostbusters. Next week for Ghostbusters. Who are you going to call?
Ray Sci-fi Parker Jr.
Week. Oh. Bye.
Comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only, not necessarily.